Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week's gospel lesson is about treasure. Now, treasure might mean different things to different people. Some people may treasure memories or family heirlooms, but today we are focusing on the more traditional treasure. Think of a treasure chest full of gold doubloons, the kind of treasure that any and everybody would enjoy getting. Treasure is something that is valuable, that you hold dearly. It's the kind of thing that people leave their homes for and sail the high seas to find. In that sense, it makes a lot of sense for Jesus to say, "Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." As we think about the man in our gospel lesson who Jesus encourages to give up all to follow him, that is, after all, more or less what Jesus had called the other disciples to do as well. Peter, Andrew, James, John all left their fishing nets. Matthew left the money changers' table. Paul, the Apostle Paul, later would exit his old circle of friends without apology and start hanging out with those who had previously been his enemies. Why did they give these things up? Because they found that they had gained Christ, who was so much more valuable than any of the possessions or positions that they had held previously. In our gospel lesson, a rich man comes to Jesus to ask him a question. Now, to all observers, this man looks like the perfect model of humility, respect, and obedience. I mean, did you notice how he approached Jesus? He didn't just walk up to Jesus, he ran to Jesus and he knelt before him. This wasn't some Pharisee coming to test Jesus. He seems to ask, in all sincerity and earnestness, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" After Jesus recites many of the commandments, the man replies, "Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth." And we're told that Jesus looked at this man and loved him. Not that he hated him or that he wanted to stick it to him, but that he loved him. And so, appreciating this man's sincerity and his humility, he tells the man, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me." Now, unlike you and I, Jesus knows a man's heart. We're told that repeatedly in the Gospels. He knows what each of us needs. He also knows what each of us craves. He knows what we hold dearest in our hearts. In this case, he knew that this responsible, upright, generally righteous man loved his money. In fact, the problem was he simply loved his money more than listening to Jesus. And that is, in fact, a problem for Christians. If we love our money more than Jesus, if it takes a higher priority in our life than his words to us, chances are pretty good we too, at some point, we'll stop following Jesus, and instead of looking to him for help and aid, we'll depend on our money. Jesus came to bring us salvation. He didn't come to bring us simply a reasonable or acceptable religious choice for us. He didn't come to establish a decent and orderly society. He believed, as did all the writers of the New Testament, that the world we live in, that our world, was fatally flawed and in love with all the wrong things. Jesus came to save lost sinners, not simply to make people think or to challenge the religious establishment. Jesus came to save you and me from hell. And to convince us of his words, his resurrection, his death, his compassion, was meant to show us that we could, in fact, trust him to take care of us. That's why Jesus speaks what sounds like to our ears so harshly to this man. He needed to get this man off the track that he was on. Often Jesus needs to get us off the track of selfishness or selfish ambition that we are on as well. We are, the Bible clearly tells us in books like John and Romans, sinners headed in the wrong direction. Left to our own devices, we would happily rot in our own filth and sin until it was too late to do anything about it. We're headed in the wrong direction as long as we are depending on ourselves or money or anything else other than Christ. In other words, what Jesus tells this young man or this man is, it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't do anything to inherit eternal life. It's a gift, pure and simple, one you can't get on your own. Grace, forgiveness, eternal life, they are gifts. A gift we could never earn from God and never buy or pay back. I don't know about you, but the gifts that mean the most to me are typically the ones that I can't ever pay back. For instance, you could never repay a good parent who took care of you when you were helpless and couldn't do anything to take care of yourself, especially if, for instance, you were a baby, a difficult baby like I was, colicky and with digestive problems. That's a kind of gift I could never pay back to my parents. Well, our gospel lesson today shows us, again, the treasure of grace, the treasure we have in our Lord and Savior. Now, on the one hand, Jesus' instructions aren't the easiest. The law, we might say, is kind of heavy in this story. Here's a man who is humble and strives to be a good person, and nevertheless, he is humbled and told that he's not good enough to inherit eternal life. This is bad news for us whenever we think that I'm a good person, so I must be going to heaven. Jesus asked the question, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. If this guy can't make it into heaven on his own, how about you and me who have to be dragged to church by our parents or our own conscience? If a man who seems to have followed most of the commandments can't get in, well, what about you and I who have broken every single commandment multiple times? Well, if the law is harsh in this lesson, the gospel shines all the brighter. The man himself who asked the question doesn't realize that he already has part of the answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life, he asks. The gift of eternal life is just like the gift of physical life. You can't choose it. You can only inherit it. This is a treasure, and a treasure is not earned, but found. I used it in the children's message. I think it's not a bad example. You and I, hopefully you'll forgive me, are comparing you to a bunch of pirates. I'm not saying you're a bunch of Johnny Depp lookalikes, charming and witty and humorous. More like, you know, real-life pirates, the dirty, despicable kind. Men and women without too much redeemable about them. All of us, we have a dark past. We're a bunch of low-lifers who've earned nothing on our own except, in the spiritual sense, nothing except eternal justice and divine retribution. And yet, you and I have stumbled upon a great treasure. Now, treasure, again, is typically something that is found, not earned. That is, in fact, Jesus' point today. Why do you call me good? Jesus asks. No one is good except God alone. You can't earn it. You can only inherit it. The only hope you have is of finding it. Like most pirate treasures, the treasure that we have inherited has a bloody past. However, this blood wasn't shed upon a ship, but upon a cross. Blood on the wrists of our Savior. Blood on the forehead under a crown of thorns. Blood flowing out his side from a spear driven into him. This blood was not taken by violence, but was freely given by your Savior. He offered his body up and his blood of his own free choice, willingly sacrificing himself for our salvation. And like any pirate with half a brain, upon learning of such a wonderful treasure, we put aside anything and everything that might get in our way, including things like pillaging and plundering, in order to search for such a priceless treasure. We know when you know, even a pirate would know that you've got to put aside some vices if you want to find a treasure. For instance, a drunken pirate might have little choice, has little chance of discerning a map or getting to the treasure before someone else does. If he really wants to get to the treasure, he'll throw aside everything else, even his vices, even his whiskey, in order to get that treasure. We might learn something from that pirate who puts aside his vices in order to find treasure. Jesus tells the rich man to throw aside even his money in order to follow Christ instead. And that's probably not a bad example because, again, on our own, you and I, we can't be good. Chances are we simply won't throw our sins away because we're good people or we know we're supposed to, because no one is good but God alone. However, when we realize the true value of the treasure that we have in Christ, then we can happily throw away our sins, even goods and money, in order to gain this eternal treasure in Christ. And yes, the truth is, Jesus actually does expect us to lay aside things that hinder our relationship with God. That may mean money, or it may mean something else. We may have to do it, and when we lay aside these things and get in our relationship with God, we may have to do it more than once. We may have to lay these sins and vices aside over and over and over again. But with the forgiveness of God and the encouragement and the faithfulness of God, we can do exactly that. We can cut off anything and everything that cuts us off from Jesus, because he's our source of life and eternal life at that. This treasure that Jesus has freely given to you and me is certainly worth any trade that we might make for it. A few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, we talked about sacrifice. You make a sacrifice because you believe that what you're gaining is going to be better than what you give up. Our gospel lesson today reminds us that even the things that are most valuable in this world pale in comparison with the value of having Christ Jesus as our Lord. Let us, as the author of Hebrews says, throw aside every weight and sin which would tie us down, and let us be found in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.